over the last month, we've been talking about holiness lived out. We took a little detour for a couple of weeks. Brother Salek was here, and we talked about heaven being our home. But we're going to go back to holiness lived out today. And I'm going to take us to 1 John chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 2, talking about some things that get very direct. And so let me say, like I've said for the last month, talking about holiness lived out, I'm not here to condemn. I am not here to chasten or rebuke, but I am here to enlighten us to the Word of God. I am here to call attention to the importance of not only knowing the Master, but walking with Jesus. As we're going to see in 1 John chapter 2, it is our challenge as Christians, if we claim the name of Jesus Christ, it is our challenge to walk as Jesus walked. And brothers and sisters, let me just say, if we are walking like the world, we are not walking like Jesus walked. And so John challenges us today. And I tell you before, and I'll say it again, I might say it a third time, I'm not here to chasten or rebuke, but I am here to enlighten us to what the Word of God says. And I am here to call us to be all we can be for Jesus. Time's running out. Time is running out on you and me and the world. The Lord's going to come back, and if He doesn't, we're going to die in the meantime. And if we haven't made right with God, if we haven't put our faith in Christ, and I mean surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, and said, yes, I will follow you, we're not ready to die. And so I'm just here to call our attention to what the Word says. And I know it gets direct in 1 John chapter 2. But sometimes I need direct for Jim. And so I'm going to read what John said to us today. And we're going to process that a little bit together. 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version today. Over the last 2 years, I've read the New Revised Standard Version through twice. I try to read a different translation every year. And I really like the New Revised Standard Version, and so I'm reading from it today. I rarely read to you from it because I know a lot of you don't have the New Revised Standard Version. But if you've got an English Standard Version, or you've got a Revised Standard Version, or you've got a New Revised Standard Version, they're all pretty much alike, and they're pretty close to New King James. And so here we go. My little children, John says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, a lot of times we don't even want to talk about sin. A lot of times we don't even want to hear the word sin. But John says to us, I'm writing to the church. Followers of Jesus, I'm writing to you. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. You see, that is our goal, brothers and sisters. If we have been redeemed, that is our goal, to walk as Jesus walked without sin. You say, Jim, we can't do it. Well, to say we can't do it, I think, is giving God the short end of the stick. Because He can help you and I to overcome what we used to be. And so He challenges us. John writes today, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And I've had people tell me, preacher, I can be a Christian and I can live like the world. I can live like I want to live. Well, I don't think that's what the Word says, friends. I don't think that's what John is saying, and I know that's not what Paul said when I took us to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 just a couple of weeks ago. I know that's not what he said when Paul reminded us in chapter 5 of Ephesians that with our covetousness and in our uncleanness and even in our foolish talking, in our immoralities and all of that stuff, he says, and our idolatry, none of that will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so for the argument to say, yeah, but, preacher, I can be a Christian and live like the world, that's not what the Word says. And so Paul says, I'm writing these things to you, Jim, and followers of Jesus, that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus, amen? I'm real thankful for that. But for me to keep on sinning of the way I used to in my before Christ years is to put Christ back on the tree. Hebrews tells us that. And so John is challenging us here. We do have an advocate. We have the blood shed for our sin. And we do have an advocate before the Father, and His name is Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. But it doesn't mean we got a license to keep on sinning. Verse 3. John says, "Now by this we may be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments." That's how, John writes to the church of at that time, that's how people will know, that's how you will know, if we're following closely to the Master in obedience to Him, people will know when you say, "I'm a Christian," they will know you mean it. "But now by this we may be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. Whoever says," in verse 4, "I have come to know Him," I'm a Christian in today's vernacular. Well, I'm a Christian, Jim. I'm as Christian as the next. But John writes, "Whoever says, 'I have come to know Him,' but does not obey His commandments is a liar. And in such a person, the truth does not exist." You see what John's saying? You see what John is saying today, friends? To follow the Master, we got to follow close. We got to be led by His Spirit. I told you as we've been going through this Holiness Lived Out series, we can't do this on our own. You must be born again. We've got to be born again in our spirit. We've got to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. You can't do this, and neither can I on our own. We can't live this way in the newness of life without Jesus. Without Jesus, without surrendering our life to Jesus, without allowing the Holy Spirit of God to come in and fill us and to lead us, we can't walk like Jesus walked. But when we do, when we are born again, when we are led by His Spirit, we can walk as Jesus walked, because that's what John tells us to do. Verse 5. "But whoever obeys His word, truly, in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says, 'I abide in Him,' ought to walk just as He," that's Jesus, "walked." You see what John is saying? If you call yourself a Christian, Jim, you better walk like Jesus walked. If you call yourself a Christian, Jim, and walk like the world, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. That's what John tells me. That's what John speaks to Jim. I don't know what the Word speaks to you, but that's what the Word speaks to me. Before I go any further about us in this application, let me share with you a little bit what I have read over the last couple of weeks from a little magazine called The Vine and the Branches. Some of you get that. In that magazine, I was troubled when I read this. When the 1.7 million member XYZ church, I'm not going to name the church, I'm not here to degrade anybody or any church. But here's what it said. When the 1.7 million member XYZ church met for their biennial convention, they had several resolutions to consider. Resolution 1 for their delegates was to consider if their clergy should perform marriage ceremonies for same-sex couples. They voted 74 to 24, yes, our clergy should officiate at same-sex weddings. This same XYZ church also voted to redefine marriage as, I quote, "a covenant between two people." Let me just remind us quickly what Genesis 2 says. God said, "And a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That's the covenant of God for marriage. And it breaks my heart when we in the church think we know better than God as to redefine His covenant. It breaks my heart, and I know it breaks the heart of God, when people under the umbrella of the church began to say, we're going to go ahead and set your ways aside, God, and we're going to do it our way. Resolution 4. The question was, should XYZ Church seek protection for babies born alive in blotched abortions? You know what a blotched abortion is? It's an oxymoron, but a blotched abortion is when a child lives. Because the goal of the abortion is for the child not to live. And so the question was before this XYZ Church's delegation, if that baby is born alive, shall we attempt to save it? They voted no, do not try to keep them alive. It breaks my heart, and I know it breaks the heart of God. This is the church. In another article, the headline was, WXYZ Bishop provides a mass same-sex wedding ceremony, and the article went on to name the bishop and the pastor that led this marriage equality service. And also from that WXYZ church, a presiding bishop stated, here's a quote, my personal experience in the church is that same-sex couples who come to us for marriage know exactly what they are doing and why. Far from destroying the institution of marriage, same-gender couples may actually save the institution of marriage. End quote. I'm not here to condemn churches, friends, but I am here to call us to the Word of God. And if we lay this on the nightstand and forget its precepts and forget its statutes and forget its laws, we are doing things as we see fit. And if we do not go by the book, we're doing exactly what they did in Judges and before the time of Noah, when the Bible says, and they did what was right in their own eyes. And when they did what was right in their own eyes, God rendered swift and quick judgment. He is a holy God, and He has called His church to be holy people. And if we live like the world, brothers and sisters, we are not holy people. We are just like the world if we live like the world. And He said to be holy people. I'm not condemning any churches and I'm not condemning you. But it's time the church of Jesus Christ stood up and were holy people, not worldly people. It's time the people of God let Jesus shine through us. So your neighbors like my neighbor Rick will see Jesus living in you. And see Jesus living in you and want to know Jesus. It's time the church was holy people, not worldly people. I don't care what denomination it is. It starts with me. It starts with me. And you, if you claim the name of Christ, it starts with the next pastor and the next priest. If we claim the name of Jesus, it's time to start living by His book and by His word, not by the world's standards. I am not condemning same-sex couples, but that is not God's way. God ordained in Genesis chapter 2 what His covenant was, and it was clear. And woe unto those who try to define and redefine what God established. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, the Bible says. Woe unto them. I'm not condemning anybody or any churches, but it's time, if we claim the name of Jesus, we better get back to Jesus. We better walk as Jesus walked, just like John said. When we claim to know Him and walk like the world, he said, we're just a liar. I don't want to be a liar. I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to bring Him glory with how I walk. I want to be led by the Spirit. I'm no better than anybody else. But when I surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and let His Spirit come into me, it's going to be a new day. And the old things are passed away, Paul says. It's going to be a new day because I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm just suggesting it's time the church go by the book. I wouldn't even read these things to you today if it wouldn't be they're under the name of the church. I wouldn't even care if God's word didn't call me and you and people that claim to know Jesus. He has called us to be holy. Remember 2 Peter or 1 Peter? We looked at that a couple, 3 weeks ago. God said, and Peter wrote it, "For he who has called you is holy. You too be holy." That's what he's called us to. That's what he's called us to. Don't claim the name of Christ if we want to live like the world. Don't come to me or don't rationalize with God and say, you know what? Yeah, but Romans says where sin doth abound, grace doth abound the more. He didn't give us a license to sin. That's why John wrote here, "My little children, my spiritual children, I'm writing these things so that you don't sin." I ask us the question in this last month, how do we live holy lives in the 21st century? And we've looked at some of the writings of Jesus and Paul and Peter and now John, and we've looked in Romans 12, and we've looked at Ephesians 4 and 5 a little bit, and we've been reminded of Hebrews 12:14 that says, without holiness, no one's going to see God. And we've referred a little bit to the Sermon on the Mount, and on Tuesday night in our Bible study, referring a lot to it, because that's what we're studying. These words that were written in the New Testament are not just words. That's what I told our Bible study group Tuesday night when we were in some heavy stuff. Love your enemies? Who are you kidding? Pray for those that persecute you? You got to be kidding me. These are not just words. These are for our growth. These are for our molding and our shaping so that we might reflect Jesus. These are not just, well, let's go ahead and throw this down, see if anybody bites. Let's just go ahead and write this down for your buddies, John, and in your church, but forget the 20th century church. These are not just words. They're for our application. They're for our good. They're for the glory of God. Whoever, John says, I have come to know him. I'm a Christian, but does not obey his commandments. John writes, this is not the gospel of Jim. John writes, whoever says, I'm a Christian, but does not obey his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in them. That's not Jim's words, but it is the word. And it's because the word, it is my obligation to remind us it is the word. It is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, Hebrews said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word is the same. And it moves us forward in our Christian journey to be reflecting the image of Jesus. God has given us clear directives on how to live. And if we claim to know Jesus, it behooves us to follow Jesus then and not the world. I got a lot of notes yet, but our time's running out. John also wrote, "By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk as he walked." Friends, that's simply saying Christians ought to walk like Jesus walked. Now let me close, try to be brief in the next 5 minutes, with Romans 8:7-8. Turn there if you have your Bibles. Paul saying some things that add right along to what John said. I want us to pull it together here before I close. Romans 8, 7 and 8. Paul said this to the church at Rome. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. He's saying the same things that John just said. The mind, if my mind wants to run with the world, if my mind leads my body to do what the world is doing, that is hostile to God. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When we let the flesh lead us, we're going to get in trouble. The world is led by the flesh. And may it not be said that the church is also led by the flesh. Verse 9, Paul writes to the followers, as John was writing to followers, but you, if you have claimed the name of Jesus Christ, if you have been born in your spirit, but you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. In other words, if the world, if the world's ways and my fleshly ambitions and my fleshly desires continue to take me in this direction, and it's contrary and opposite of what Christ, Paul says, anyone who does not have that Spirit of Christ does not even belong to Him. And so I simply ask us today, friends, do we belong to the Spirit of the living God because we have been born again, or do we belong to the world? Because if we belong to the world and we die today, we are not going to heaven. We will go to hell. You say, yeah, but preacher, I've been in church all my life. Friends, I heard a dear old friend of mine, when I was just a kid in my spiritual journey, say to a deacon, my friend said to him, do you know Jesus? The deacon, my friend didn't know who he was, the deacon said, I'm a deacon in the church. What do you mean, do I know Jesus? But do you know Jesus? Does that matter? I'm elevated in I got stature in the church. And my friend simply said to him, unless you've been born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And so, friends, I'm just telling you, this is not a denominational thing. Doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or I'm a deacon or something else. What matters, have I been born again? Have I surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Am I led by His Spirit? Because if I'm not led by His Spirit, I'll be led by my own spirit and I will follow the world. And followers of the world are not following Jesus. And so I close with these questions of challenge. Why in the church do we try to get by with what we can? Why do we in the church do we try to get a little bit of religion and a little bit of Jesus, and the rest of the week we live for the world? Why do we do that? Why in the church today do we make excuses for sin? I'm sure I've done it too, and I know I've had a few of them given to me. Why do we do that? When we claim to know Christ, why do we make excuses for sin? Why not let the Holy Spirit of God lead us and take this challenge from John that said, my little children, I write unto you that you may not sin. Why don't we take that and really run with it and let the Holy Spirit of God lead us in newness of life? Why in the church today do we want to live with one foot in the church and one in the world? Because if we got one foot in the world, friends, it's not holy. And so I just leave us with those questions today. I just want to ask us today, friends, to consider, which spirit am I following? The spirit of the world or the spirit of the living God? I just want to ask us today, friends, if you're a Christian and you're still letting the world define you, will you let the Lord help you grow out of that behavior? Because that's not pleasing to Him. It wasn't pleasing in my life. It's not pleasing in yours. And if you're here today and you're just pretty sure you've never repented of your sin and surrendered completely to Christ, you've never received Him as Lord, would you do that today? He calls us to be holy people. We don't have to go around thinking we're better than anybody else, because if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we're at the bottom of the ladder, folks. We're at the bottom rung of the ladder. Except for the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. But we've got to apply that to our lives. We've got to apply that blood. We've got to seek His forgiveness. We've got to surrender to Him. John, in his gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, 12 or 14, says, "To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those that believed on His name." You've got to receive Him as Lord, friends. And when you do that, it's a new day, and it's time to walk like Jesus walked. No, it's not easy. But when you stay connected to the Spirit, and stay in the Word, and stay connected to a body of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, it'll help you stay accountable. It's doable, because He challenged us to do it. And so while we sing this last song called Trust and Obey, if you want to come at the altar and kneel and pray, maybe there's some things you and God just got to get worked out. That's okay. You go ahead and do that. If you want to come forward and pray with myself, or Dan is here, Chris is here, they'll pray with you to receive Christ as Lord, we'll be glad to do that. But I'm just here to tell you, friends, again, I'm not here to condemn you or anybody else. But I am here to suggest it's time the church walk like Jesus. And so if you haven't been doing that, you and the Lord, you go ahead and get that figured out. You just call upon Him and repent and open up your heart, and He'll help you. And if you've never been born again, I wouldn't delay much longer. You might get a hardened heart and say, you know what, I just don't need it. And you may never get another chance. So while we're singing this song today, if you want to pray or want to be prayed for, we'll be up here to pray with you. Or you go ahead and kneel at the altar.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand here before Your throne of grace, would pray that the words that we heard this morning would be taken in our heart, and the true change comes from the inside out as we move and allow God's Spirit to fill us, to guide us, and to use us. My prayer is, Lord God, as we walk into the world, as the Word says, be in the world but not of the world, and pray that we might trust in You to be able to obey. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.